Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Science of Kabbalah with your hosts, Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another segment of the Science of Kabbalah here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. This is Rabbi Yitzhak.
This is William Hall. Rabbi, good to hear your voice again.
It's always good for my voice to be heard.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. We've got an interesting fun day lined up today, won't we?
Yeah, we do. I have a very special guest I'm very excited about.
Very cool. So how's your week been, sir?
My week has been interesting. You know, we're always supposed to be besimcha. We always talk about being, you know, happy. Rabbi Nachman talks a lot about that. Today, my happiness was tested for sure.
Man.
It's been one of those days, one of those weeks. I'm actually doing the show with you from my laptop because I'm having issues with my big computer. So I had to like run around and get all the wires going and everything else and get everything hooked up.
And you know that it's so stressful because especially when you're on a time crunch because when you're trying to rush to get it done, that's when all the mistakes start happening.
Well, you certainly know about that. I can remember many, many times when I've been on the phone with you when you're underneath the desk moving wires around.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but anyway, actually very fortunate that we're having the show that we're having today. But I just wanted to tell you what I would have called the show if we weren't going to have this special guest on. I was going to call it What's for Dinner.
Oh, nice.
That was going to be the title of the show because this past Shabbat we were in Toldot, and one of the things that Zohar talks about is the feast that's going to take place in the Messianic Age, and we're going to be feasting on. It talks about Leviathan, and the bull, and it talks about a very special wine. But we'll bring that up on another show. You're going to want to stay with us. We have about a minute here before we go to break, so I'm just going to kind of let the cat out of the bag and let you know that this is kind of self-serving for me today because we're going to have on our show one of my closest friends in Sfat. His name is Meir Glazer. Meir is just an amazing individual. He's one of the most helpful people around. I don't know where I would be. Actually, he helped me quite a bit yesterday with some issues I've been having with bureaucracy here in Israel. I keep threatening that I'm going to write a book about all of the comedy of errors that you go through. But anyway, we're going to have Meir on. He has a very special talent as well. He's not just an amazing individual, but he's an amazing musical artist, and he has an amazing business called Bishvil Alev. So stay with us. We're going to be right back after a short break here on the Science of Kabbalah on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Science of Kabbalah here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. William, before the break, I mentioned that sort of self-serving because our guest today, Meir Glazer, happens to be a very close friend of mine, as I said. And I just briefly mentioned that he's a very talented individual. He also has this amazing business that we're going to talk a little bit about called Bishvil Alev, which means Path of the Heart. So without further ado, I want to welcome my friend Meir Glazer to the Science of Kabbalah. Welcome, Meir.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Wherever you are, whatever time it is.
Yeah, it's so nice to have you finally after all these years. We finally get together here on the radio. So I mentioned a couple of things, you know, about your musical talent and Bishvil Alev, but people are always interested in everybody's journey. And I know that you have a special one. And I know that the music comes from a special place as part of that journey. So maybe you want to open up by sharing with our listeners a little bit about how you came to be where you are today.
Okay. So maybe I'll start actually when I was 14. I was listening to folk music and I decided I wanted to learn guitar. So I rented a guitar and took some lessons and started playing. And since then, I've been strumming along in many different opportunities. But my actual spiritual journey in a way begins when I was in college. I went to Boston University, and it was the years of the Vietnam War. In 1970, I was there from 69 to 73. So at the end of 71, 72, there was all the stress of the moratorium and then the students demonstrating. And there were still those that actually had to go to Vietnam. And I met some people that actually came back because they had such a difficult time there. And it was like that they were completely broken. And all they cared about was doing drugs and escaping. And that just got me thinking, that can't be, that's not what it's all about. That's not what we're all here for, to escape. And just at that time, there was a poster that I saw that invited people to come to a concert by a rabbi whose name was Rabbi Shlomo Carlebach. I had no idea who he was or what he was. And I thank my blessings that I went to that concert, because actually it changed my whole life. Just from one meeting, this amazing person who went around the world with a spirit of love and a spirit of oneness and bringing people together, and especially with the Jewish his Jewish background. He was from a great line of rabbis, and at the young age he picked up a guitar and he started composing all kinds of amazing music, and he went around the world and singing, teaching, telling stories. It was like the our modern-day Baal Shem Tov, who was the founder of the Hasidic movement. And so from that one evening that really stirred me up and woken up my soul, I started to say, if I want, I must continue and see what more there is. Even though I was brought up with a little bit of more than the average background of a Jewish person in the United States at the time. So I went to, I started going to the Hillel House, and I became active there. There I met the rabbi who was the director of the Hillel House. His name was Rabbi Joseph Pollack. And I started becoming active, and gradually we were keeping Shabbat. And then when I graduated, I went back to my home in Baltimore where I was born, and I got a job. I had a job teaching. I was a math teacher at the time, and in the summer of 1974, I decided to visit one of my roommates who left college and went to Israel to learn in a yeshiva. There I met him. There we got together, and I was with him for a while, and I traveled around, and that summer set the whole vibe in my head that also I wanted more. And so I, after the second year of teaching, I asked my principal if I could take a leave of absence. That was 1975. She said, yeah, you can have a year's leave of absence. So I never went back. I came here. I stayed in Israel, and I was learning in yeshiva. And after 2 years, so I decided to try to get out a little bit of the yeshiva world in Jerusalem, and I came to Tzfat. Here I met my future wife. We decided to buy a home, and started a family in Israel. Wow. So then during the whole time, so whenever I had an opportunity to sort of continue this work or singing and telling stories and things like that, like Rabbi Shlomo Carlebach did, but actually it didn't develop until much later when I decided to go out. I was given the opportunity to go out in early retirement where I was from the place where I was working. And then I started Bishvil Alev, Path of the Heart, which was, we developed a bar mitzvah program with music and all kinds of special things and tours and things like that. So that's been developing for about 13 years now. And where I am today, I'm trying to, as Yitzhak mentioned, trying to put out my message now in a more of a virtual way. And right now we're working on a series of films to, so anybody, even you in the States, could be able to hopefully sit and get a little touch of this amazing place, which is called Tzfat, and the history and the spirituality that was here. Maybe you all know that Tzfat is the city of Kabbalah, the city where the Arya Kadosh, one of the main Kabbalists, lived for 2 years and wrote and put down his thoughts, were written down by another great Kabbalist called Chaim Vital. And Tzfat has this rich, rich, amazing history of the people, and it's a small little town. You walk around, and it was like, you can imagine, like, these great scholars, these holy people, these amazing people were walking around in a very small area. It's almost like, you know, you could just walk around and you could see them and hear them and sort of imagine and how much they influenced the whole Jewish world and the whole world, the world in general, actually, from that time, which was about from the year 1520 to about 1580. So it's like 450 years, something like that.
Yeah. So I don't think a lot of people realize that when you talk about Reb Shlomo, too, that many people may not realize that when they go, for instance, to a Shabbat service at a synagogue on a Friday night, that the Kabbalat Shabbat service, that many of the tunes that they sing to the different parts of the service are actually tunes that were written by Reb Shlomo. And it kind of reminds me, because you and I spent some time together a couple of weeks ago doing some of the filming right outside the Ari Ashkenazi Shul, which overlooks Meiron, which is said to be the place also where one of the most famous parts of Kabbalat Shabbat service was written, which is Lecha Dodi. Of course, right. Reb Shlomo has his own tune to that. So maybe you want to talk a little bit about that, because I know right. You talk about that in your tour.
That's one of the focuses on the tour, that the musical tour that I do. We come to this amazing place, which was the place where Ha'ari, his name was Rabbi Yitzchak Luria Ashkenazi, came on Friday afternoon as the sun is coming down. Everybody should imagine this amazing view over the mountains. And all of a sudden he feels this sort of pain in his heart that everything isn't the way it should be. And he wanted to do something about it. He wanted to sort of bring something new into the Jewish spiritual world. And he had in his pocket a poem, as it were, which was written also in Tzfat by another great rabbi, whose name was Rabbi Shlomo Alkabetz. And that poem is called Lecha Dodi, come, my beloved, which is a really a love song, because it expresses the love between God and the Jewish people, between the Jewish people and Shabbat, and it's sort of a whole poetry of this connection between the male side and the female side. So Rabbi Shlomo Kalibach took these different verses and he brought down amazing tunes almost for every verse. And so one of the things that is done all over the world, especially in Israel, is almost every synagogue, especially on Friday night, do the service which everybody says on Friday night, but they put in the Rabbi Shlomo's tunes. And it's a whole thing, it's called the Karlibach Nusach, his way of bringing Shabbat in. And that's, I'm also a chazan, I lead the services, and so with the tour, with the guitar, I sing the different tunes and try to bring people into the feeling of what it was like back then in the time of the Ari, and how, what does it mean to have Kabbalat Shabbat? What does it mean to receive the Shabbat?
Yeah, and I'm always able to receive part of the blessing of that, because living in a simta, living in one of the alleyways of Tzfat, Mayor often comes down the alley by my house, and I can already hear the music starting to build as he comes closer and closer towards my house. And sometimes we even come out and wave to him and the people that are coming by. So
Yitzhak lives right below his house. Is this amazing view, which is almost the same view from the top, where you see the mountains. And and there's a few parking places there, actually. Parking in Tzfat is difficult. So it's a good place to start the tour. So that's why I usually start there, and I move up the alleyway past Yitzhak's house.
Right. And of course, there's also, just below me, looking down, we also have the old Tzfat cemetery where the tzaddikim, where like the Ari HaKadosh and many of the tzaddikim are buried. We're going to have to go to a break here, a short break for some news and some information. But stick with us, because when we come back, we're going to continue discussing Tzfat, Kabbalah, and Bishvil Alev, and hear more from Meir Glazer. So stay with us. We'll be right back here on the Science of Kabbalah on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know this psalm and many others were composed by a Jewish shepherd and musician who later became a king? Would you like to know some of the inner meanings of psalms to help you connect with God and strengthen your soul? An exciting and easy-to-read book is now available, which will help you do just that. Software for the Soul, Psalms for Everyone, available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. Software for the Soul.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Israel News Talk Radio. Our special guest has been so delightful so far, Meir Glazer. And as you're talking about having these walking tours, by the way, it's really kind of neat to play on words, pathways for the heart. Walking is good for your heart, so that's good too. So, but look, Rabbi Yitzchak has been posting videos every once in a while of him, his little walking tour down the street and up the street, and it's really, really cool. Even Leia does the same thing from time to time, and those things are just so awesome to sit back and watch. I can only imagine seeing an actual video that's designed specifically for giving people this tour. So I think what you're on to is going to be a pretty neat thing, and I can't wait to see some of it myself. So,
yeah, you can just imagine, you know, walking up the street, and also I'm playing the guitar, we're singing together. It even adds to the whole beautiful walking through these alleyways and seeing the view and singing, you know, something in your heart, and so that makes it even more special.
That's awesome.
So I know it's difficult for people, kind of tell them to try to imagine, but maybe what you can do is maybe elaborate a little bit about what a virtual tour would be like, and maybe talk a little bit about, for instance, when we just talked about Lecha Dodi and Kabbalat Shabbat, right in that same area is, for instance, the Ari Ashkenazi Shul, which has a story in and of itself. Anybody who's ever been in there and has seen the Aron Kodesh, where the Sefer Torah is, and then there is a very special story about a miracle that took place there. So maybe you can kind of give them a virtual radio tour of that.
So you walk into this old, most of the buildings in Tzfat are of stone. And so you walk in this stone, it has a big heavy door, and you walk inside. And right away your eye is sort of drawn to this colored, tall Aron Kodesh, which has brown and green and what other colors are there. It's a hand-carved wooden Aron Kodesh, which is, I don't know how many feet high. It's pretty high up. And there are all different kinds of symbols there, Jewish symbols. And one of the symbols is the hand, which a Jewish priest blesses his congregation. Part of the service in Israel, it's said every day in the morning service, where the Kohen stands in front of the synagogue and puts a talit over his head, and he stretches out his arms and he holds his hands in a special way. Now, for those of you in America, maybe I'll say something that hopefully a lot of people know. Do you remember the series of Star Trek?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so you know Mr. Spock, right?
Yes, indeed.
So if you remember how he greeted the and when he said, what was it?
Live long and prosper.
Yeah,
live long and prosper, right?
Nice.
So he held up his hand in a certain way. And if you remember, it's like his fingers were spread out. And that's how he, that was his blessing to everyone. So where did he get it from? So it just so happens that Leonard Nimoy was Jewish. And Leonard Nimoy was also a Kohen from a family from the Kohenim. And so when he decided with this character, he would use this Jewish symbol as the symbol of the Vulcan blessing of live long and prosper. But it was brought down because that's what the Kohanim actually are doing. When they're blessing everyone, they're having their minds that everyone should live long and prosper. There's a very special blessing of first there's three words, and then there's five words, and then there's seven words. And it has a lot of very deep meaning to it. But the Kohanim, when they were doing that, they are pulling down from above a spiritual blessing and giving it out through their hands. So this symbol of the way that Kohanim has his hands is on the ark. So one of the things is I mentioned that, especially if it's a group of people from America or anyone who might know Star Trek, I mentioned that as a funny thing that it's right. Even in Sfat, you can bring in kinds of things like that. And then we walk around the synagogue. There's this huge bima, which is the place where when you take the Torah out of the ark, you bring it up to, and that's where it's read from. So it's risen up. There are like six steps going up to the Aron, and where the table is. And when you take the Torah out, this is where the person who reads, where he reads from. And this is also made out of wood. It has this huge base. And as you open the door, you come in and you see this this wooden structure. You see there's a hole in the on the side, and so there's a story about this hole. Story is that Tzfat is also a place of miracles that happen, amazing things. And here the story is that there was a little man who was praying at the time of 1948 in the War of Independence. And there's a part of the service where one bows down. They say the part of the prayer is called Modim Anachnu Lach. We give thanks to you. And just as he did that, there was a bomb that fell into the courtyard right outside. And the door was open, and because it was springtime. And a shrapnel went into the synagogue and went right over this guy's head just as he bowed down. And because he bowed down, actually, that's how he was saved. And so that hole, which lodged into the wood, is still here even today. And so we tell the story about how this fellow was saved, and the idea of thanking God for everything that happens. The miracle that happened in this synagogue.
There's also an amazing window in that synagogue as well. And since this is a show that basically is about Kabbalah, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the window that's there as well.
So what's the official name of it? It's called the Adam HaKadmon. I don't know. There's a name for that thing. And it's a diagram of the 10 Sefirot, which sometimes is juxtaposed like in the form of a man. So you have three circles on the top, which represent the brain of this man, as the left side, the right side, and the middle. And then you have another three circles, which represent the right shoulder, the left shoulder, and the torso. And then you have another three circles in a triangle, the left leg, the right leg, and the sexual organ. And then there's one more on the bottom, which represents actually the flow of all these energies from the Sefirot, which flow down into this last part, which is called the Malchut. And so there's this beautiful colored glass window, stained glass window, as you walk in, And also anyone that's into it, I try to explain a little bit about what the sefirot mean. What does the word Kabbalah mean? So in one sense, it means to research, to receive. And in another sense, it means actually comes from the word Hakbalah. Hakbalah means parallel. Mm-hmm. So I explained that actually there are parallel worlds. There's a spiritual world and there's a physical world. And these two worlds are parallel exactly, one against the other. And so even though God cannot be described, is not physical, on the other hand, the Kabbalah in a way describes some of the qualities by using this sort of description of a brain, of eyes, of ears, a nose, as it were. Again, we shouldn't believe that there is the eyes of God physically, but there are the eyes of God spiritually, and the brain would. So these sefirot, these concepts might answer the question. Did you ever think about why do we appear this way as human beings? Why do we have a head like we have, and eyes, and ears, and a nose, and a mouth, and everything like that? So the Kabbalah answers that is because we are a complete reflection of God, a reflection of the holy world. And so that's why we are in this form. So the Kabbalah explains in each part, goes in, and so these sefirot are in a way sort of a diagram of this hakbalah, of this parallelism that there is between the spiritual world and the physical world.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, I joked about it at the beginning, saying that if we had not had you on the show this week, that I was going to title the show What's for Dinner, based on Toldot and the whole idea of the feast that's going to take place for the redemption. But that speaks very strongly about parallels, everything. We speak about this every week on the show. William and I often talk about dualities and parallels and using terms like that. And certainly the reason why I brought that up is because in talking about spirituality and physicality, we know that there's a spiritual meal that's going to be, that we're going to partake of. One of the things that it talks about, believe it or not, I don't know if you know this, William, but one of the things the Zohar talks about is that we are going to be drinking wine and eating grapes from the 6 days of creation, according to the Zohar. That would be the spiritual part. And then the physical part is actually Leviathan and the bull that it talks about actually having a physical. So all of these things, all of the parallels, when we're talking about the Eitz Chaim, the tree of life, with the right side and the left side, and the Zohar in Toldot also talks about this, about finding the balance between things like chesed and givurah, between loving kindness and between mercy, and talking about the avot, the patriarchs, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. We could go on and on. We only have a short time.
It's like
time.
In the window. So part of the idea is that these are all in a balance.
Right.
They're all like triangles, and there are lines which are connecting the triangles.
Right.
So also one of the ideas of it is also how to be in balance. And
right. So before we're going to have to go to break there. So keep that in mind. When we come back, we'll talk more about that, about balance and Kabbalah. So stay with us. We're just going to be back after a short break here on The Science of Kabbalah on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to our final segment here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Enjoying the session. Mayor, so as you get into just explaining all this this Kabbalah and the interconnections of everything, so how can we bring Kabbalah into life in general? Like Rob said, what's for dinner? And we want to know what's for dinner spiritually and find some balance.
Right. Very good question. Like, actually, that's, you know, the whole, there's a word in Hebrew called tachlis, tachlit,
purpose.
Which means what's the purpose of everything? And that's one of the things that when I also, on my tour going around in Tzfat, we ask that question because the word for tachlit, there's another word in Hebrew which is called tchelet. Tchelet means blue, sky blue.
All
and
right.
Tzfat is painted in sky blue. So that's a message that wherever you're walking in Tzfat, you're sort of trying to look and contemplate on what is your purpose in the world. What am I supposed to do here? So one of the things is balance. You know, there's so many extremes and people go off to one side. But the Kabbalah mamash teaches that the way of making, bringing, living a holy life, living a good life, a life which considers other people, one of the basic ideas is living in balance. To try to, Yitzhak mentioned the idea of chesed. Chesed means to love or to give. On the opposite side of chesed is gvura. And gvura means to hold back, to limit, to have a boundary. So those are two opposite things. In one sense, you're giving, 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 and another holding back. So what happens? So there's the third part of this triangle is tiferet, is the balance between the two. You bring the two together, knowing how to give, how much to give, when to give, and then when to hold back. How can I limit? And you put the two together and you have this balance. And so if a person thinks about that and whatever they do, then they can really bring it down into their lives, into their world. And I think it will lead everyone to live a much fuller life.
I don't know how many people really put much thought into the process, the how and the when, you know, because I believe there are times for all this stuff too. And if you were talking about balance, and if we look at it like you're juggling three balls, well, if you get one out of order, then you're not juggling anymore. You get this big
right. It so falls down. Right.
How and the when is very, very important.
I think that the effort really, you know, can be made, especially once you start delving into this stuff and you have a open up a little understanding and then really try to, again, how do you bring it down into living daily, day to day? You know, anyone that has children certainly knows, you know, when do you say no, right? You know, when do you say yes?
Absolutely, absolutely.
But the kid has to learn no, like, you know, that's, otherwise he's just going to be this spoiled brat that, you know, he gets whatever he wants. And when he grows up, when somebody slaps him in the face, he's going to be really hurt.
I remember something happened with my youngest son whenever he was he was under a year old, but we lived in this place where right outside the back door going to the garage, there was a set of stone steps that went down three steps. And he kept going out in the garage like all the time. We'd have to go get him and go get him. And finally, I was like, you know what? I told him no. And he understood what no meant already. He was like, look up at you and turn around and walk away. So so this time he didn't. He wasn't walking yet. So he was crawling. And I was like, okay, I'm going to walk over there. I'm going to go two steps down and I'm going to wait for him to fall and let him just barely, like, just enough to, you know, scare the fire out of him. And then I'm like, right. And by doing that, he never went back to the steps again, you know, but I had to let him fall. I had to let him, you know, feel a little bit of fear and that pain before. So
that's how you learn to walk, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a beautiful thing. So,
right. So the Kabbalah really, you know, it conceptually brings this down, but then we have to learn how to bring it down into the world. Another thing, so Yitzhak talked about the food, this great feast it's going to be when the time of the final days. But then there's also eating. Everybody loves to eat. And some people spend their whole lives, you know, watching Super Chef or whatever it is. But there's also the Kabbalah teaches how to eat, try to eat spiritually, how to concentrate on what you're doing. And there's a whole also spiritual process of, you know, trying to stop for a second, right, before you stuff your mouth. The Kabbalah talks about each food has a spiritual life to it. And what you're actually doing is you are bringing the spiritual life in and sort of redeeming it. And
you know, I heard something very interesting I would mind y'all commented on, was that when it comes to eating meat in general, that someone should not eat meat unless they are really in a very good, sound spiritual place. And I think the explanation was that if you're having a rough time spiritually and you eat meat, you take on the negative aspects of whatever it is you were eating, and that makes your situation worse. Have you heard? Mm-hmm. Is that kind of online?
Yeah. I haven't heard about that, but I mean, there are people, you know, today there's a whole thing of the vegetarians and so on and like that. But according to Judaism, actually, we're not ready yet. We might be soon, just to be vegetarians. There is a real purpose in eating meat. The Kabbalah divides the whole world into there's the matter world, there's the vegetable world, there's the animal world, and there's the human world. And everything that we do is like another level. And the idea is to try to, the reason why we eat meat is sort of we're taking that meat and putting it inside. And Judaism say, well, when you make a blessing, you make you connect it to its spiritual source. What you're doing is you're really taking that spark of life, which is in the meat, and putting it in you. And that sort of is a fixing, is a positive thing. So that's like the positive purpose of eating meat.
Especially on Shabbat.
I think that probably there's not so much time. Right. I would like to invite everyone who's listening. Soon, hopefully, we'll finish the process of maybe trying to put what I talked about out there. You can see it. You'll be able to see it maybe on. I have a Facebook page, and I have a website. And so if anyone is interested, hopefully soon, actually probably these things, my Facebook page is Meir Glaser, M-E-I-R. G-L-A-S-E-R, and the website is called Path of the Heart. So if I've hopefully been interesting enough to for you maybe to want to see more, hopefully soon that this will be available, and anyone who wants to come in, and I will certainly invite anyone that makes contact with me, in order to see the future of the things that are about to come.
Right. Nice. We do have listeners here in Israel as well that are English speakers. And since there is the ability now to travel a little bit and people can come up to Sfat, and if people wanted to, what would be the best way for people to contact you if they wanted to do a tour here in person in Sfat?
Okay. So the best way, my telephone in Israel is 050-750-5695. I have WhatsApp also, but it's a different number. The number of the WhatsApp is 054-86-44467. That's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me, and I'll be certainly happy. It is very special, even in the winter. There's a special feeling about Sfat in the winter. And going through the magical alleyways and with the music. And there's so many different stories, people that were here, and things that have happened. It really, Sfat is a really, really special place. Anyone has any kind of inclination towards this history or this spirituality, Sfat is the place.
Yeah, and especially with us coming up to Hanukkah.
Hanukkah
is a very, very holiday here in Sfat. One of the things that Leah and I always do, my wife and I, love to go out with our cameras during Hanukkah, because we only have a few minutes left, Mayor, so maybe you want to explain about that, about the boxes and what that looks like.
So around. Like the mitzvah of Hanukkah is lighting the candles outside so that everyone can see them. It's bringing the light and putting it in the lowest point and putting it outside. The idea of that this light can be reached, can touch, even in the person who is at the lowest point, and even the person that's not connected, and even the person, you know, is like really far away. So it's all outside. So also when I my tours on Hanukkah have to do about this light. The word for light in Hebrew is Or. There's a word for secret, which is called Raz. And I'm sure you've probably talked in the past about gematria, mm-hmm. about the letters, the Hebrew letters corresponding to numbers. So the gematria of Or and the gematria of Raz is the same. And so Hanukkah is the time where we can look at the secrets and see the light and watch the candle. In a way, you can in a way feel your own neshama, your own soul, because there's also a connection between the light, between the candle, and everyone's own personal soul, which everyone has.
Beautiful, beautiful. So I hope that if you're listening, you enjoyed the show today, and that you will come and think about visiting us here in Tzfat. And certainly if you're going to visit Tzfat, if you want to come for Chanukah, we welcome you if you're here in Israel. And God willing, this plague will be over soon, and Hashem will allow people to come to Israel. Come, join us in Tzfat. Get in touch with Mayor Glazer. Remember, it's Bishvil Alev, Path of the Heart. We want to thank you, Mayor, for being here with us.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you as well, William. And thank you.
Thank you, William. Nice talking to you.
Yeah. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, everyone, for staying with us each week here on the Science of Kabbalah on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.